Built Bar is truly a standout among all protein bars. I flip for its exceptional nutritional profile and so many delicious flavors. It's built to keep my energy high while coaching. I love the real cookie dough and coconut almond flavors, while Kim's favorite are the candy cane brownie and mint brownie. Check out all the awesome flavors and build your box of favorites to keep you landing on your feet all day. Go to builtbar.com and use R5Insider for 10% off at checkout. That's R5Insider for 10% off at checkout. Built Bar. Unbelievably healthy, ridiculously delicious.
But when I go up there, I have to dance my heart out, because if I don't dance hard, I won't do good gymnastics. Like, that was my mentality when I went up to the beam or on the floor, and I could not hold back, because if I held back on the balance beam, I would be all wobbly or something like that. But I never focused on the skill. I would always listen to the background, and I would dance to the background of the music.
We are the College Salute Podcast, the place where we keep you updated on how our Region 5 alums are doing during their NCAA careers. We are checking in with some of our alums as they reflect on this past season, as well as taking them back to being part of Region 5. This week's alumni conversation guest, goals for gymnastics were to be a great NCAA all-around athlete, which in her 4 years as an OU Sooner, she definitely did that and more. But before we glide down the beam and get caught in her web of greatness, we need to thank our sponsor.
Tumble Track. More reps, less stress. Twist, turn, and tumble longer and stronger with Tumble Track. Train smart. Well, our guest today has gymnastics that can only be described as an eclectic celebration of a fierce, sassy serpent gliding through the jungle as she pierces your soul through movements and expression only reserved for a rare Picasso. The essence of her gymnastics is poetry in motion. I mean, if you are a regular listener to our podcast, you all know exactly how I feel about this athlete, since I literally talk about her every podcast, whether we're covering OU or not. We are excited to welcome Anastasia Webb to the podcast today. Anastasia, welcome, and thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, after that wonderful introduction, let's give the audience a bit of background on you. A two-time JO national qualifier, which just sounds crazy to say only two times, but of course you spent a little bit of time in the elite program, doing the elite stuff, but a JO national floor champion in 16, vault champion in 2017 with a different vault than you have competed for most of your college career, and second all around in 2016 as well. 2017 Nastia Cup qualifier, a Region 5 all-star team member, and then of course all the accolades in college, a NCAA team runner-up with OU, 2019 NCAA team champion with OU, the 2021 NCAA all-around champion, vault and floor champion, didn't really have a very successful 2021 championships, as you can tell. And then, of course, the big one, the Heisman Award winner for women's gymnastics in sports and women's sports, the 2021 Honda Award winner. You started out on the elite track, then decided to drop back to level 10 for your last 3 years in the JO program, level 10 program. What went into that decision? And looking back on your club career, how would you say Region 5 prepared you for college gymnastics?
Region 5 honestly had opened up my whole experience of having team atmosphere. I was in the elite program. I didn't have a lot of teammates. I only had one other girl, and it was Michaela Dugan. And then we branched off, and we all went different paths. But Region 5, I was able to, you know, branch out to other girls, and it was just such an amazing learning experience and an amazing time, because I was even able to branch out to the girls in college. And it's just a family atmosphere, and I'm so grateful for Region 5 and how much they've done for me.
You were pushing the elite program pretty heavily, and then obviously, you know, came and decided to, you know, fall back and still do very high-level gymnastics, but do it on the level 10 system. What went into that decision that made you decide to fall back?
Well, I would say, well, you know, as a young girl, I think every athlete, as a young girl, as a gymnast, has that dream of going to the Olympic Games. And, you know, when you reach that point, it's, you go to, I mean, I went to classics, and I mean, I didn't have my best meet at the classics tournament. I had a false start and everything, but that was my ultimate decision to just drop down. And I wanted to do the same level gymnastics I did in elite, but and bring it to level 10. And I knew I was going to have more success as a level 10 gymnast than I was going to have in my elite career.
I mean, I was at that classic meet, and you make it sound like you didn't have a very good competition, because actually your other three events were very good. Unfortunately, you can't get over a zero for, you know, going early when the with the green light, but you didn't have a bad competition. You just unfortunately had a zero vault. But you know, obviously, yes, your difficulty was, you know, one of the best when it came to level 10, because you just kind of slid it down and slid it back into from elite to level 10 competition. But looking back on your JO career as a whole, and it could be elite or, you know, level 10, what are the three your three favorite memories from any of your experiences during your club career?
My three favorite memories would probably be JO Nationals. I was so excited because, you know, I felt like I was at a college meet myself, and you know, I got my hair done, and it was just super cool to meet a whole different girls and different people. And another moment was when I really wanted to qualify to the All-Star team, and when I got to go to Costa Rica, I was just so happy and super thankful, and I will never forget that. And meeting, you know, amazing friends like Peyton Richards along the way, and seeing her at Florida and how she's doing, it's pretty awesome. And then my third favorite moment was just being just overall every experience and every meet I went to for Region 5 was just always a blast. And I know Region 5 is, I mean, I am biased, but I do truly believe it is the best region because there are so many outstanding girls that come from our region that have such great success in college.
And so you mentioned college, and I'm sure with, you know, your great success you've had and your beautiful gymnastics that you probably had the pick of any school you wanted, I'm sure. But what made you ultimately make the decision to go to OU?
Well, it was Region 5 alum and Oklahoma Sooner alum, and it was Haley Scheman. And I mean, we still keep in contact today, and she was one of the biggest influences ever in my whole entire college career and in my Region 5 career and even elite career. I wanted to be just like her. She was so humbling and so amazing at gymnastics, and I wanted to follow her path.
What is something that really, other than Haley, what is something that really drew you to Oklahoma? Not just maybe gymnastics wise, but just, you know, being in Oklahoma or the campus, the girls.
I would probably say it was my coaches, KJ, Tom, Lou, and Ashley. And I was able to connect with them so easily when I visited there. And I don't know, when I was younger and they had just won a national championship, I was like, oh my God, I want to win a national championship school. I want to go there. So when I visited on campus, I felt right at home, and I wanted to be an Oklahoma Sooner from the very start. Because I only visited two schools, and Oklahoma was my second. So,
Oh, wow.
yeah.
What other school did you visit? Just
Michigan.
Oh,
I went
Michigan.
to, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Your freshman year of college, you guys were the NCAA runners up, correct?
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of compare, kind of like talk about and compare, go through your 4 years at OU and kind of just compare your freshman year to your senior year. Just kind of like, let's take us through that path.
Okay. Well, I would say every single year has been like a different story. It's been a different obstacle. And my freshman year, just being runner up my first year against UCLA, I just had an ultimate blast being there, and even being runner up by such a close margin. It was just still such an amazing moment. But it was also the biggest learning experience because our coach, KJ, she engraved 0.0375. I still remember that number because she engraved it in our head. And she like put it on like our second place ring. She engraved that in our ring. She engraved it on her t-shirts and everything. So we always had that .0375. And that was our, you know, our fight for the next year. So in 2019, we had a different obstacle, and it was when my trainer's husband had passed away from cancer. And, you know, it was a fight for him and to do it for him and to win a national championship for him. And, you know, the next year, COVID-19 became, you know, the pandemic happened and everything got canceled. And so that got canceled. And then having to have a season where you had to come back from not being able to do gymnastics for, you know, like a month. And I wasn't able to do gymnastics for like a very long period of time because I went back home, and in Illinois, the COVID restrictions are, you know, harder and more difficult than Oklahoma. And I started training at a nearby Oklahoma gym, and I was training with like 12-year-old girls and on equipment that I did not really like, but I had to do it anyways. And I had a battle through COVID myself, and that was tough. And I mean, for every athlete out there who like fought through it and became resilient from their canceled season and, you know, families being lost and everything, it's pretty remarkable what we did this year. But I know every year has been different, and I'm super thankful for every obstacle and every loss and every win from it. So
how was going from, so, you know, COVID year and everything's canceled, and as you said, you know, you're working out in some random gym. Talk a little just about like coming back the next season and not knowing, like your senior year, and not knowing like, are we going to have a season? Is NCAA going to happen? So kind of just talk about how like how you dealt with that part, and then how your team kind of, you know, worked together and dealt with that. And, you know, then going into, you know, your senior year and winning all around and just, you know, capping it off.
Yeah. Well, I was definitely scared, and I kept asking KJ over Zoom, are we going to have a season? Are we going to have a season and all that stuff? And, you know, having all that time off, your body changes. And I wasn't doing like gymnastics conditioning. She was sending us conditioning lists that I couldn't even do because I had no gym to go to. So I was running a lot, and running hurt my knees. But it was just really different to adapt to that. But I'm also thankful for it because I did have that family time I wasn't used to. And I really got caught up with my family because I only get to see them like twice a year. And became more appreciative of others, like the healthcare workers, because my mom and my dad and my brother are in healthcare. And I was just able to be by them while they were going through it too. And having to go back to Oklahoma and train, it was tough because, as I said, I was training with a gym that was unknown to me. I felt like the equipment was kind of scary and I wasn't used to it. But and I was also kind of nervous about our team dynamic this year because, you know, we weren't seeing each other. We're all around, you know, the United States, and all we could do was have these Zoom calls with our coaches and telling them what we're doing and how we're doing and all that stuff. But once we got back into the gym together, it was tough again because we had to wear a mask. And that's always hard when you're doing gymnastics. And we would get yelled at because, you know, throw it off, but we're supposed to keep it on. And it was a huge battle for us because, and every gymnast out there, just getting tested like before a competition and being so nervous that you were going to be taken out in like your snap of your fingers. It was just so nerve wracking when I was going in NCAAs and just getting tested one last time. It was scary, but we battled through it, and it was, you know, a memory to remember.
Well, you obviously finished up your college career on a high, and we are going to talk a little bit about that in a bit about the NCAA championships itself. But looking back, I mean, you were very overshadowed in your freshman, sophomore, junior year with the likes of Maggie and Brenna and even Digavea, because I know a lot of the NCAA really just, you know, drew to her way of and very similar to yours. I mean, well, you two have very similar kind of style, especially on floor. What was that like? Because I mean, you're kind of a, like we nicknamed you, and I think as other people have said, like a kind of a silent assassin, where you are always put up in the middle or towards the end, put up 9-9s, 9-9-5s. But of course, then Maggie, Brenna, they would get the like the big accolades after you went up. Your senior year was your time to shine, and you took the reins of that, and you know really did you know obviously finished off very strong, but also led OU to a strong season. How would you compare that experience to your first 3 years?
Well, I think you're totally right about being a silent assassin, and I love that about me. And I remember there was someone that said, I'm like the workhorse of Oklahoma gymnastics. And at first I was kind of upset, but then I was like, you know what? That's one of the biggest compliments you could give someone in a way, because I gave, even though I may not have gotten the recognition I thought I deserved my freshman, sophomore, and junior year, I mean, I put like my heart, my soul in it, and I really put myself in that perspective of, you know what, just do your thing, have fun, be in the moment, enjoy your career, enjoy it, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Just do you and have fun with it, and your time will come. And my time did come, and I am so forever thankful for it, because I could have not finished on such, I finished on my ultimate high. And I mean, when I was at the national championship, I had no idea I had won. And I was just crying and crying, because I was just, that moment, I just like realized that, oh my God, I'm sort of crying, that all my hard work had paid off.
I mean, it's awesome to see you like the way that, you know, react that way, because, you know, so many people, you know, you hear it in the gym internet and whatever, that Anastasia could win the all around, you know, Anastasia could win the all around, and you, and each and every year, even on the team with Maggie and Brenna, you could still have won the all around, you know, that's the thing. It's, that's what made you guys so strong. I mean, that's, you know, you have you going fourth, you know, and sometimes fifth, depending on the event, obviously balance beam, but, you know, being overshadowed, and it's awesome just to see, when I know Kim and I talked about it a lot during the season, just how much, like, even just not that your personality or the way you did gymnastics changed, but the fact that, you know, everyone, all the eyes were on you, and you like took it and ran with it, because, you know, it was like, I finally get my time to, you know, yes, it was about the team, yes, but it also is, you know, to show what you've worked hard for and done. And I think that's awesome. It was great to see, you know, this past year.
I would get, like, sometimes I would get fan mail, and it would just bring me to tears, because they would, in their letters of, they weren't even gymnasts, they were mothers and gymnasts, and they were just people always watching, like, fans of me, and they were saying, like, we see what you're doing, and your time will come. And it was just, it filled my heart, because I knew I was being overshadowed and stuff, but, you know, it was so comforting that there were other people out there seeing how hard I worked and knew what I was doing, and were seeing that I should be deserving some spotlight throughout my career.
You know, it seemed like a lot of people really in the gym tournament really started talking about you your senior year, and I'd be like listening to podcasts or whatever, be like, she's been like that the entire time. Like,
I know, yeah.
You know, the entire time. And I literally, I would talk about you on every single podcast, whether we were talking about Oklahoma or not. Like, y'all might not have even competed that weekend, but I feel like, so, you know.
I heard, I think someone told me on my team, I think he was a media person. I don't go on Twitter or anything like that, because I don't want to look at that stuff. But, it was apparently somewhere, I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard it, and it was like a list of people that were going to win the national championship. And I heard that my name wasn't on there. And someone told me that, and I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, I've been there. Like, did you doubt me that much? Like, all this stuff. But, you know, I think it was God too that helped me out a little bit, but I guess I proved everyone what I was made of at the end.
Yeah. Hey, I knew you were going to win this year, so.
Thank you. I knew it inside, and my mom knew it.
You were always on the top of my list, like, always for this year. I'm like, she's going to win this year, I bet you. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm like, Anastasia's going to win. But Oh my God. No, I would like make my kids at the gym when I was trying to like get them to do something. I was like, hey, watch this video and watch how she does this because this is what you're going to do. Like, I'd pull up your J.O. floor routine and be like, she twirls her hair here. Yeah. Like, that's, you're going to twirl your hair there.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
You're my point of reference for like a lot of stuff.
TumbleTrack has been providing innovative and safe equipment for over 30 years, helping athletes reach their peak potential with the ability to perform more reps with less stress on their bodies, especially at the collegiate levels. If you want more information on the philosophy and functionality behind the Laser Beam Pro or any of TumbleTrack's amazing products, head over to www.tumbletrack.com. That's www.tumbletrack.com today. And remember, TumbleTrack, train smartly.
We're going to talk a little bit about my favorite events of yours, which is your beam and floor. So I feel as if, and I have this all in another podcast before, when you mount the balance beam, I've been wanting to ask you this forever. So you, to me, are a more quiet, reserved type of athlete sometimes. But, like, after you salute and you're getting ready to, like, glide your way down the balance beam, you, like, take on this, like, character or persona. Like, do you channel an inner character or persona? Like, Beyonce has Sasha Fierce. Like, do you have that? Because it's, like, you throw your arms up and you get ready and then it's, like, it's you turn it on and it's just, like, soul piercing.
I mean, I love to dance. That's one of my biggest things. I love to dance. I've always loved to dance. I've danced in my room when I was younger. I've danced in the mirror. But when I go up there, I have to dance my heart out because if I don't dance hard, I won't do good gymnastics. Like, that was my mentality when I went up to the beam or on the floor, and I could not hold back because if I held back on the balance beam, I would be all wobbly or something like that. But I never focused on the skill. I would always listen to the background and I would dance the background of the music. So if someone's floor routine was slower, I would dance a little bit slower. I think. But I would just dance really hard because I felt more confidence. And when you feel confident in yourself and your dance, you'll be perceived more confident and you might score a 10.
Well, let me tell you, because like you, I did think that sometimes you were dancing to the music on the beam because you could see certain things that you did. And like, I was like, that kind of went with that. But I don't even understand how you glide down the balance beam. Like, you glide. Have you watched your balance beam? Because you start at one end and it's just like glide, 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 glide. I'm like, how do you not fall off? Like, and I make my kids watch it. I'm like, okay, so you're going to go from this end to this end, gliding like Anastasia. And they're like, how does she do that? Because you just like, glide. You would think the balance beam's a sidewalk.
Yeah, I think maybe it was part of, you know, region 5 again. And having Lenore as my dance coach, I was so close with Lenore. And, you know, she would coach us on beam 2 and tell us you need to smush it up and you need to dance harder on the beam and the floor. And I don't know, I've always... And Amy, she would always say, chin up and confidence and always look up. And it's just how I was grown up from, you know, Region 5 and having my coaches of Todd Gardner. And I love IGI and my history with them and how much they helped me out as a gymnast. And I mean, I honor them. And if it wasn't for them, I would not be at Oklahoma. I wouldn't be the gymnast that I am today. And it was because of Region 5, IGI, gymnastics.
Wow, let me tell you, they did a great job because like your floor routines, I always loved your floor routine and like that the hair twirling one. That was like one of my favorites. And every year I was like, what is Anastasia's floor routine gonna be? Like, what's it gonna be? Because they're always amazing. And just you just like move, like there's the one and you were in the corner like doing that or something. I'm like, how does that even work? But the one this year, hands down, is my favorite. And I heard some commentator describe it or you described it to the, I don't know, but it was like something about being a Sassy in the Jungle or something?
I felt like I was in the jungle. I don't know. Like it was some pop thing and shaking and then going down and then back. I don't even know.
that's where the, you know, the sassy serpent came from. I don't know. I love it. But talk a little bit about, like, walk me through this. Like, your floor routine this year, I mean, all your floor routines are amazing. So, like, working with KJ, I know she choreographs them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like KJ, was overshadowed by Miss Val a lot. But KJ's choreography is, like, amazing. Like, really all the routines. So, when you guys sit down and, like, do a routine, do the athletes get input? Do you help come up with stuff, come up with any music or anything? Because your movements are so natural that I just am like, is KJ on the floor doing those things? Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, we have some input, but most of it is hers. But she just knows her athletes like in and out, and she knows that I can dance a certain way, and she can too. Like, she will be doing these movements with you on the floor. You'd be surprised. But yeah, she choreographed, like, she cuts the music, she dances with you the whole time, and I had, like, 3 sessions with her for that routine, and I loved it, and usually there was a story every year, mm-hmm. but she didn't have a story this year for mine. I was like, all right, really? But, you know, my story was I had to prove myself, and I'm going to go in, and I'm going to attack, and that's where I came, like, a little jungle theme, and I was going to, you know, and the... I don't know, some type of tiger or something, hunting or something like that. But yeah, I've loved every single floor routine she's done, and I've had such, you know, a variety of different things, and I'm really happy she was able to incorporate, you know, different musics and different styles with me, and I was able to do it.
If you had to pick one of your, what of the 4 years was maybe your favorite routine?
I think it was my sophomore year. It was... just really, it kind of incorporated like classical music in a way. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just felt like really just strong in it and just like fierce in it. But my senior year and my sophomore year, that was the battle of the two. But I loved them both. But I don't know, something about my sophomore year was really cool.
Yeah. Well, how has your routines and your dance ability changed, do you think, since like the hair twirling one
to the college. College is, you know, different, and you have to show off a little more. And yeah, I don't know. I was just able to go from, you know, high school to college and just incorporate a different style of dances. And it's a little bit more open. It's not really reserved. But yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, obviously breaking down with Kim, just your overall balance beam and floor exercise, you know, that stands out. I mean, those are the events that do stand out. But you're a phenomenal vaulter. I mean, vault got undershadowed. I mean, you scored tens on vault. I mean, you had a vault coming into to college that was a 10, yet you could still also do another 10 vault. So you had 2 that you were able to do. And of course, bars, even though you didn't compete your Ray anymore in college, which I'm over that now, you did do double fronts and double front halves and stuff, which was fun and great to see. How do you think your approach to competing in college changed from what you did in club? And maybe you can make it more event specific, where you can, you know, describe kind of how it may be different on the different events.
I guess my approach changed that everything in college needs to be clean. Everything in college needs to be, I would say, simple and clean, and you would have to do it literally perfect. But in when I was in JO and stuff, I wanted to do like the hardest stuff ever. I wanted, you know, be able to impress the judges, impress coaches, and impress college coaches too, and show them what I could do. But I loved how I was able to keep my JO gymnastics and bring it to college. I think that was really special. And I wish when I came to college for my vault, the half on pike off, I loved that vault, and I thought I was really good at it. But my freshman year, my vault coach Lou, he said that you're not gonna be able to score as high as you can unless you stick it. And I was like, okay. And I, you know, I had that mentality. I wanted to compete all around. You know, I've always wanted to compete all around coming into college. And when they said over the summer that I wasn't going to do that vault anymore. I was like, I need to learn 1.5 or I'm not going to, you know, compete vault. And that's what I did. And I've never competed a 1.5 in JO. So I pretty much learned, I did it a couple times in club, like into the pit, but I've never competed it. And I thought, you know, I need to learn it. I need to adapt to that college way because everyone did a full or 1.5. That's like what you do in college. You can't really do anything different, I feel like. But yeah, I was really happy I was able to learn it and get a 10 on it too.
You have 9.95. You have a 9.9. Was it 9.9 at JO Nationals on that vault, the handspring half front pike? You know, I mean, obviously, I do remember you did do 1.5. So when I was in to film your Ion 5, I know you were doing 1.5s on 8-inchers into the pit. But I know you trained doubles for Elite 2. I know you did double work as well. And then this half on, because I know that that was big. You know, Christina Conforti did that vault, and, you know, IGI known for their multiple vaults that they're able to do. But from the standpoint of just maybe skill-wise, I mean, I no double Arabians in college. Now, granted, your Floratine, your front double full, I think is worth the same as their double Arabian anyway, and you can stick that easily. But like some of those skills, you always like to do the bigger skills. How difficult was that for you to maybe not do skills like that? And for you, the Floratine, even though it's, you know, beautiful and you can do it 100, you know, I love the 1.5 front full. That's one of my favorite, you know, passes. I think they have brought it to where the difficulty that it is now because of gymnasts like you that do it so easily, make it look easy, and it's not. But not being able to do double Arabians on floor, you know, during your college career.
Double Arabian was literally one of my favorite skills in JO, and I felt so accomplished. And when I landed on my feet at JO Nationals on floor, and I knew when I was younger I had trouble on it, and just that feeling of being able to accomplish such a hard skill, even at that age and in that level, is just amazing. And I remember walking into Oklahoma, and they don't like landing frontwards. I think the only girl I know that ever did a double Arabian in college was Olivia Karras, right? I feel like she was the only one. Yeah, a lot of college gyms don't like landing in that forward position. You can go out of bounds easily, I guess. But I guess, honestly, dropping down maybe skill level on floor helped my body a little bit. And it was easy for me. And like you said, I could do it so many times and I wasn't afraid of it. So that, in that perspective, it did help me out.
In the Ray on bars, but I believe you took the Ray out actually before you went to college, because I think you did the bar to bar releases at JO's in your senior year. But looking at your career, I mean, you had, you know, quite a decent number of tens, vault, beam especially. I mean, beam, balance beam was where, you know, a 10 was always lingering for Anastasia. Which would you say, what routines did you felt like, you know, you go through and you score a 10, and what routines, maybe if you can look back, that you felt really were, when you landed, you knew it was a 10? And then maybe an examples of ones that, you know, went 9.95 or 9.975, and you're like, well, my routine, that one felt much better. Or like that one felt like the 10, not the one that I did last week or something like that.
Well, there were a couple on beam. I felt like I'm really good at finessing my way through the beam because I'm able to move around and be sharp and stuff like that. So there were some times where I knew, like, there was no way that was a 10, but, you know, I got lucky in that situation. There was one, I think we were in Texas against the women's team, Texas women's. And there was a bar routine, and I didn't think it was that good, but I stuck my dismount, and I got, like, a 9.975, and that was, like, that year. I got a 10 on bars. Yeah, I did get a 10 on bars. But that was another moment where I felt like I maybe deserved a 9.9 on that event on bars. But bars this year, you guys may have not known this, but I struggled a lot on bars. Oh, yeah. Like, I was scared. I was actually scared of my dismount. I didn't think it was senior. I don't think it was our senior meet, but it was the one before that, and I didn't go. I, like, balked in the double front half. And I don't know. I had a face. That was one obstacle I faced my senior year, and I was scared of hitting a low bar. I ducked my head. I had no idea where I was in the air, and I've been doing a double front ever since I was a little girl. So that was scary for me, but I battled through it, thank God.
I remember during middle of the season, I had said to Kim on one of the podcasts, I said, you know, there's something fishy going on with, you know, Anastasia on bars, because, you know, yes, there are times you'll go 9.875, you'll take a big, you know, a step or something, won't hit handstand, which is very rare. But I'm like, wow, I got like a low. I mean, I think we had an 8 in one meet, and like you had 9.7 one meet, and then you had like 8 something in one meet, because maybe that was the one you'd balked in your dismount, what have you. I was like, wow. But pushing back to the 10, the one thing that I know sticks out is Metroplex this past year. And I know that you guys love going to that meet. I mean, you go every year. It's like the OU's meet. It might as well be a home meet for Oklahoma. But, you know, that vault rotation was awesome, just to say the least, based on everybody, you know, popping out good vaults. Talk just a little bit about that one, because that was a 10 that stands out to me, because obviously it was this year, and just how that one felt for you.
I think that was my first 10 on vault, and I was really excited because, okay, actually there was one meet, I think it was Metroplex again, and I had stuck it ice cold, and I got a 9.9. There was one year, and I was like, what the heck, how did I get that? But this year, that vault rotation was just insane, and everyone did so well, and I finally got to stick a vault, and I was so excited, like the double ones and everything. So, and I was wearing Haley Skamen's leotard.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Sorry.
I don't know how to respond to that. I was wearing Haley Skamen's leotard. I don't know how to respond to that. That's funny.
But I was wearing her leotard that she had won at her senior year national championship. So I felt really special in that vault and very special in that leotard.
I'll never forget that one. I mean, that one stood out when I was, you know, thinking about this question. And I was like, I wonder if that one sticks out, because that was your senior year. And obviously, you know, that rotation was awesome. I mean, everyone was sticking vaults and left and right. And but yeah, no, that one was fun. And looking back, competing at your first NCAA championships, and then I want you to compare that experience to your last.
I felt like I was a rookie, I would say. I felt like I really had no idea about going into my first NCAA championship. I was really nervous. And as a freshman, I would say you have more of a individual mentality versus a team mentality. And that is also just a learning experience when you're coming into college as too. And comparing that to my senior year, but also my freshman year, I thought we were going to win. I had that like, oh, we're already going to win mentality. And my senior year, it was more of a fight for the Oklahoma Sooners, because, I mean, it was kind of unheard of that we just had lost the Big 12 championship to Denver and everything. So it was just more of a team experience my senior year competing at NCAAs. And I would say 10 times more fun competing at NCAAs and as my senior year, and even more of a thrill too. And it was just really awesome to see, like, we, my coaches and stuff, it was kind of scary to even think about this, but, like, we were just trying to survive and try to go to the next level. We were trying to qualify to the championship. So that was only on our mind, and it was just a whole team experience and super fun. So I would say a lot more fun and a lot more team atmosphere.
Well, the individual success part was day one. So, like, your all-around championship, and then the event finals were day one. So you can look at that and say, hey, individually, you know, I did what I did. You know, you reached your goals, or you were able to be the NCAA all-around champion. Focus was completely on team. How did, like, just, you know, what you did day one in prelims kind of help you or get you in that mindset for that final piece of gymnastics that you would do on all four events in that final?
In my head, I was thinking, all right, Anastasia, just do the same thing, no stress. Don't try too hard. Just try to do exactly what you did on the first day, because if you can do that, then your team will have a chance of winning the national championship. And I mean, I would say it is an individual sport, but every gymnast can contribute in their own ways. And I knew what I had to do, and the Oklahoma Sooners, we tried our very hardest, and it was a battle for the, you know, for Michigan Wolverines, and it was just super fun.
Do you guys have a feeling that you weren't going to win, that Michigan was?
No, I thought we were going to win still.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I don't know. Olivia was last on floor, and I don't know what I was thinking, but I guess there was no way we were going to win. I don't know what the last girl needed on Michigan's team, but I'm always just so hopeful when it comes to that type of stuff. And I don't know, but it was pretty fun to have that thrill, though. I will never forget it, even though I was sad. But, you know, Michigan worked their butt off, too, and they worked so hard, and they deserve every championship, and they deserve that win. So I'm really proud for them. But in the beginning, I thought we were going to catch them at the end, but it was close.
You always remember your first competition, and you always remember your last. From those two meets, what do you take away? What will you always remember about your first gymnastics competition and your last gymnastics competition?
Well, my first competition was in Georgia, and I was so nervous because, you know, I was competing, you know, as an Oklahoma Sooner, and that was really scary for me. And that was my first time doing an all around, and that was pretty different as a incoming freshman to compete at their first meet doing the all around. So I will never forget that. And I'll never forget my seniors. When I was a freshman, I feel really comfortable. And I felt that I was able to, you know, be part of Oklahoma, and they just made me feel comfortable in that situation and led me through, you know, competing my first collegiate competition, and, you know, ending my whole entire gymnastics career as a NCAA champion and finishing second. I will never forget it. And I am, you know, forever thankful for every experience that I learned from that, my senior year of at the NCAA championship. And I'm just so happy for my whole entire career and forever thankful for gymnastics.
Moving forward, what is next for you? I know you're going to pursue your master's in health administration, I think I read.
Yeah.
And you're doing it at OU. So what made you go towards that and pick that? And what do you ultimately want to do when you grow up?
Well, my whole family's in the health field. I look up to them a lot. My brother's in PA school right now. And my mom is, you know, she's a exercise physiologist. And when we were in COVID times and everything, she would say an administrator's job is so important, especially during this time, because you go to them for need. You have to work together as a team. And just having that experience, even as an athlete, of being a team player and listening and, you know, time management, all these stuff that I have learned as a gymnast, I want to contribute to it in the healthcare system. And I hope one day I could be a hospital administrator. And I'm pursuing it at OU because I want to stay in Oklahoma for a little bit and, you know, continue my education here. And it's pretty cool, though, too. And part of the reason why I couldn't do gymnastics with the master's program was because it's in Oklahoma City. And it's like a 40-minute drive from the Norman Gymnastics campus. So that would have been tough to, you know, drive. And I moved to Moore, Oklahoma. So I'm halfway between Norman and Oklahoma City. So that's a better drive for me. But yeah, that's what I want to do one day. And I want to continue to stay fit. And I've been running. I've been working out. I've been eating healthy and just trying to stay ways to stay active and working OU camp and so trying to be involved in the gymnastics world and, yeah, just enjoying life and having fun.
When you've moved past your master's degree and you started your life and you are, you know, with your girlfriends out at Bennigan's having a few drinks and they're like, hey, you did gymnastics? Oh, I did gymnastics too when I was 12. What is some funny story or memorable, embarrassing thing that might have happened during interviews or, you know, just in the gym at a meet during JO or college, whatever, that you're just going to tell them that you just could just sit and laugh about at Bennigan's?
I felt like I've had so many amazing memories with my teammates and built so many great relationships with them. And in the gym, I was considered I would laugh a lot and dance a lot and, you know, goof around and stuff like that while we were working out. But I'm trying to think of like a specific time. I don't know. I have my little inside jokes with my teammates, but I would always worry about how my hair looked during a meet. I would even be focusing sometimes on the gymnastics meet. I would be focusing on my hair the entire time, and I would need someone to fix it or something like that. But that wasn't really funny, but it would be funny to them. But I don't know. Everything's different. I don't know.
I mean, there was this one time your senior year at a meet where you like did a tumbling pass and went out of bounds and then stuck your foot back in. Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And like you put your foot back in like it never happened, and then the next meet your ending was different. I was like,
yes. That would be the memory and the joke of a long time, because I thought I was going to be out of bounds, and I ended up putting my foot out of bounds anyways. And I don't even know. I thought it was funny, and I thought, you know, I don't know. It was funny, and it was a bad timing because we were going to lose. My coaches were pretty mad, but, you know, everyone had a bad meet that day, and I just had to top it off with my foot placing it out of bounds for everybody.
But it was a different ending. You like, because normally you did like this one.
Yeah. I don't know what was going through.
But when you watched it, like when you played it back again, because I watched it a few times, it's like you did that really big straight jump and then you finished and it's like your foot was out of bounds and you like put it back in, like, oh, I didn't do that. Like,
I know. No. Maybe they didn't see it. Well, there's been times where judges haven't seen everything, so maybe that was a good time.
True. A whole leg though.
That was funny. Yeah, and I will never forget it, and it'll be a good laugh for other people, and maybe someone won't be doing that ending.
Well, to bounce off the memorable thing, like from KJ's perspective with you, and I know she does something different with each and every one of you. It's the same look, because when she does it, it looks like she's doing the same thing, but obviously it's based on your routine and your own choreography and what you need mentally. But what one thing will you always remember of what KJ has said, done, you know, that impacted you one way or the other in your gymnastics?
Yeah, she is an awesome coach and an awesome leader. And I love how she expects you to be the best that you can be. And I love that because I want to be the best that I can be in everything. And I strive for excellence. And I remember like before going on the balance beam and she would like shake me and everything. Like she'd calm me down and she'd be like, confidence, like you need to have confidence, and having confidence throughout your whole entire life and everything you do, you always need to have that. And I really admire her and her work and how much she has done for me as a gymnast.
I was gonna ask you, what does she say to you when she like does that and then like brushes you guys off like before beam? But I mean,
She goes through every single skill in your beam routine. It's pretty remarkable how she can remember every single beam routine in everybody's order. And she like has these specific like cues, like after, like I'm very bad at full turns. So I have to calm down and do my full turn, like easy finish. And then that's where she says strong dance. And she tells me like, all right, you know, like if you don't do strong dance, like you're not gonna do that good and all that stuff. But, she just goes through every single skill and tells you mentally how to do it and how you should follow that while you're doing your beam routine, while dancing hard. And
then there's that moment where it's like, boom. And like you're focused and she's on it. And then she's like this. And like, so like she knows when that is for you and you know when it is for her. And when it's time to go, it's go time. And that, you know, it's crazy. But it like I said, it seems to work for Oklahoma because obviously beam is definitely one of your strongest events. Not that any of the other events are very weak. Overall, just, you know, from a perspective of gymnastics, what do you take away from your years in the sport and all that you've done in your career? And then what kind of advice would you give an up-and-coming athlete or a recruit to be able to enjoy and really get out the most of college gymnastics and gymnastics as a whole?
Well, I've done gymnastics since I was 3 years old, and throughout college, like having to wake up at like 5:30 in the morning, that takes discipline, that takes hard work, and just everything about gymnastics, from the fails in life, from quitting, having your season canceled, to becoming resilient and winning. You can just take every learning experience I have learned from gymnastics and adapting it to a real life situation. And, you know, one day getting a job, I know those factors from gymnastics and those life lessons I've learned will really help me in life. And I'm very thankful for those. And I know because of the sport, I will always be hardworking and will always strive to be, you know, be perfect in life and strive for perfection as I do on every single event. And advice I would give to a future gymnast to go to any college or anything like that and have the most amazing college experiences, to literally enjoy every single moment and to learn from every experience and to not worry about what other people think of you or what other people say from social media, but know what you're capable of and to show the whole world what you're made of and to make friendships with your coaches and your teammates and to live in the moment and to enjoy every second of it, because at the end, it'll be worth it and you'll be forever thankful for the sport and for how much you've done. And you could take all your lessons and victories and failures and, you know, use them in the real world.
Moving away from the gymnastics questions, and we end our podcast with fun but not gymnastics questions. And these are going to make you think a little bit. You're going to have to think. But the thing is, there's no discussion. It's just what you think, and that's what it is. But the first one would you rather live for a week in the past or the future, and why?
I would say the future, because I don't want to change anything I've done in the past, because I've learned from everything, good and bad. But I would say the future, because, I mean, I do love surprises, but I do kind of want to see what's destined for me in the future. And I think it would be really cool to live again that moment after I've seen it.
If you could be a cartoon character for a week, who would you be and why?
I think a Powerpuff Girl, but not the green one. I like Bubbles. She's the blonde and blue one. But I think I'd be a Powerpuff Girl because, you know, I always watched that as a kid when I was younger. And I had, like, bracelet of them and a little wallet and a little purse of them. And I loved all their powers and how they saved, you know, the world and their little community. So I would be a Powerpuff Girl.
What personality trait has gotten you in the most trouble and why?
Probably my goofiness, and I've experienced that in the gym. And sometimes, like, you know, I like to, you know, mess around sometimes and have fun with my teammates and laugh a lot when I should have been focused in the moment. But I have gotten in trouble a couple of times, but it's all good memories at the end. And at the end, KJ still laughs at them now, even though she yelled at me in the past.
I mean, how do you feel that personality and that, you know, gigginess and just happiness and has helped your team?
I feel like it has, like, lightened up the mood. I've been able to build friendships with a lot of the girls and have connected with them. And I feel like they're able to come to me more easily because they feel more comfortable with me. And, you know, I think you should always, you know, hang loose a little bit, even though, you know, everything shouldn't be so serious all the time. And it's always good to enjoy life and, you know, live in the moment.
Well, I think many people who listen to our podcast are going to be kind of surprised with that answer, because you put on a stoic, very serious persona, and yeah. Most of you guys do at OU, and just know that back in, you know, behind the scenes, you know, you got Anastasia laughing. Although, I mean, I've traveled with you on an all-star trip and at nationals and been around you because obviously you're in Illinois.
I'm pretty sure I got in trouble at the all-star trip.
A lot of people on that Costa Rica trip. We also got lost. Yes. Well, yes. Remember that group got lost too, which it really didn't get lost because it was just a circle. You were going to come back. You had to. There was no other way around it. But Nina wanted to make sure she, you know, kept track of all her. You understand that was her job, but you know, just knowing your personality and people who don't necessarily know you and see you only from what they see on TV or in their gymnastics mindset, maybe be like, oh my God, really? I mean, that surprises me, even though it's, you know, yeah, very truthful. But that's cool. Thank you for sharing that. What is the most courageous thing you've ever done? Explain that.
Courageous. I think it was when I felt pretty courageous when I had to overcome the obstacle with my dismount on bars. I was like, I don't know why, but I was really scared. And I've never been scared of gymnastics. And during that time, I was scared of my dismount. And in my head, I was very upset with myself because I said, of course, this is happening to me my senior year. But I felt very courageous when I didn't let those thoughts creep in my head. And when I did have a bad day at practice, it's very good to visualize yourself over and over again and, you know, visualize and pray about it. And I felt really courageous in that moment. And, you know, it worked at the end.
Is if a movie was made of your life, would it be a drama, a comedy, an action, science fiction, or Kim's Edition, a musical, and why?
I think it'd be an action movie. I don't know. My whole entire life, you know, moving from Chicago, Illinois, and well, I'm from Morning Grove, not Chicago, but, you know, moving away from home and not being able to see my family and then having, you know, having a workout and being part of one of the best gymnastics programs. And, I mean, that takes a lot of action and courage and meeting people along the way. I think it would also be a little bit romantic too, because I finally met one of the guys of my dreams in college. And so I guess you could throw some romantic stuff in there too, but I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, it's been one crazy ride. And at the end, it was also an amazing victory story. I don't know what kind of story it would be. It could be above all.
It could be like an action filled rom-com.
Yeah.
You and your boyfriend are the cutest people. Just FYI. You're the cutest people. You're like,
we're
the
currently living together. So we moved into apartment together. So we took that big step together.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. That's exciting.
So our end of all of our podcasts each and every week, Kim and I pick out our best five awards, and we pick an athlete who fits that. We would like you to give us who you think your team, from your team, or even yourself, if you want to, would fit these five awards, which are the Built Bar Best Five of the Week in a normal season, but the best five from OU. And best stick. Who do you think sticks the best on your team?
Olivia Troutman. Yeah. She's a good. She'll be out for months and she'll still stick.
She proved that this year. Yeah. Best handstand on bars.
Reagan. Reagan's really good at handstands. Reagan Smith.
Or Anastasia Webb. best performance quality.
Performance quality. Okay, I don't want to pick myself, but I want to pick myself.
You can pick yourself.
Okay, I don't think Kim would have let us go past this question if you didn't. So
no.
Okay.
No.
So Anastasia Webb, best performance quality. Yeah, I think we would agree. Best college post routine celebration. So routine's over, the one that really just gets energized and excited about their performance.
I would say it would probably be Jade Degovea. She was always kind of like really, She would get the crowd going in some type of way. She was really fierce on her celebrations with the coach and everything. So I think she sticks out to me the most.
Well, of course, you are my favorite OU gymnast, but if I had to pick a number two, Digavea would have been it. I love, just enjoyed watching Digavea compete. And like I said, you two have very similar styles in what you do. But best college salute, our podcast name, the best college salute, the big arched back, just full out college salute that everyone knows and loves.
Put your head on your butt kind of college salute.
Yeah, I don't do that. I've never done that, but I would say Maggie Nichols. She would always do the typical gymnastics thing.
Throw your head back.
And with the big college salute. But we've enjoyed having you on, and congrats on a very successful collegiate career. I just enjoyed watching you. It's been phenomenal to watch you in college and grow, and I know Kim feels the same way. And we are wishing you all the best as you move on to grad school and in the next chapter of your life. And maybe the next chapter of life can include maybe something within the Region 5 Insider. I don't know.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
We're going to miss Anastasia Webb on the competition floor in 2022. I can guarantee that.
But I'm sure I'll probably still be able to talk about you in the podcast. And they'll be like, she's not even competing. And I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. How did we get on to Anastasia? I'm like, I don't know.
Beam will be compared to Anastasia for the rest of Kim's media career.
Yes. So. I'd be like, you're not gliding like Anastasia.
Thank you.
Thanks, Anastasia.
Help more people find our podcast by rating and reviewing us on Apple and Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to the Region 5 Insider podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to email us at region5insider@gmail.com. Thanks again to all of our Patreons, sponsors, followers, and subscribers. We could not do all of this without your support. Follow us on all of our social media accounts for the most up-to-date information on what's going on in Region 5.
Thanks again for joining us for our College Salute alumni conversation. We will have our next alum coming up soon. Check out our socials to find out when the next podcast is posted, as well as all our weekly content. Talk to you soon for more spine-breaking coverage of our Region 5 alums. And we are Region 5.